Welcome to Equipping Refugees with Skills for the Workforce, the Joint Office of Family Assistance, Office of Refugee Resettlement webinar. My name is Jennifer Gillison, and I am from Kaufman Associates. I will be your moderator today. I'd like to start with explaining a little bit about the webinar interface. You should all see the first slide of the PowerPoint presentation in a Q&A box to the right of the slide. We will be answering questions after it. At the end of the presentation, you can enter your question at any time into the Q&A box. If you need technical assistance during the webinar, please enter a question into the Q&A box. Please note this webinar is being recorded. The presentations, as well as the full webinar, will be available on the PRTA and ORR websites in the next few weeks. I will now turn it over to Ms. Lisa Washington Thomas.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining today's webinar. My name is Lisa Washington Thomas. I'm the branch chief for the Self-Sufficiency Branch, and I first want to thank you for your time and apologize for our delay. We were having technical difficulties, and we could not. We tried our best to get it rectified as soon as possible. Again, you're joining the Equipping Refugees with Skills for the Workforce. And we are happy to have a great lineup of peer programs to discuss this important topic. I will be facilitating today's webinar along with Ken Toda, Deputy Director, Office of Refugee Resettlement. As you can see on your screen, our presenters today are live on video camera, and we're looking forward to sharing a bit more about what they are doing in their states, localities, and their programs to help prepare refugees for the workforce. The work that you are doing at the state and local levels is amazing, and helping needy families, whether they are TANF, temporary assistance with needy family participants, TANF eligible or refugee families. And through your programs, you are helping these vulnerable populations maximize their potential by linking them to critical education training and credentialing workforce development opportunities, and wraparound transportation, child care, mental health, housing, and other supports. The peer programs that we have invited to share information about their programs with you today are focused on helping refugees into the American workforce through the development of English language skills, on-the-job training, soft skills, job search, and job preparation programs, opportunities for recertification, recredentialing, secondary and post-secondary education, and also connecting them directly with employers. The format of our webinar today will be for each of our five speakers to share an overview and highlights of their programs for approximately 5 to 8 minutes. Then we will have a Q&A. Our speakers today include Laurel Donahue, Program Manager of HIRE, a project of Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services, Sarah K. Peterson, Chief State Refugee Coordinator, Office of Refugee and Immigrant Assistance in Washington State. Molly Murphy-Dale, Refugee Contract Analyst, Utah Department of Workforce Services. Mark Pretty, Full Circle Exchange in Boise, Idaho. And Gina Finley, Senior Employment Associate, Global Talent, Idaho. Throughout the presentation, you'll have an opportunity to ask your questions through the chat box in the bottom left corner of your screen. We encourage you to ask questions, and if your question is for a specific presenter or program, please be sure to specify that. If we do not get everyone's questions, we will provide a Q&A that will appear on ORTHE's PRTA website, along with a transcript and audio recording of today's webinar. During the webinar, there will also be a series of polling questions that will appear on your screen. Please answer each by clicking on the radio button next to your selected response. Doing so will not only help us guide the discussion, but we'll also share additional information that may inform your practice. Now, I would like to turn this over to Ken.
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you so much. Just wanted to say how excited really we are about the webinar today. ORR and the Office of Family Assistance have really been working closely together to see how we can really inform our prospective networks on models and best practices to enhance services to TANF recipients and refugee populations. The timing is actually quite interesting, as I just returned last week from Idaho, and was able to visit the Full Circle Exchange and meet Mark and really look at and see and how what an innovative model this has been and developed in partnership with the TANF office in Idaho. And I just really think it's a very exciting model that builds upon the resilience and strengths of refugees. And I think it'll be really serve as a great best practice looking forward. I also had the opportunity to meet with Global Talent and meet Gina and really look at some of the work they're doing about building career ladders for many of our more skilled refugees. And this has been sort of a challenge, I think, in many ways, and really hope that this may provide an opportunity to build upon some of the work they're doing throughout the network. So very excited about the webinar and certainly the partnership and hope that we will be able to really look at other opportunities for the future to build upon some of the collaboration that we have started today. So thank you.
Thanks, Ken. We're going to start with our first polling question. And the question is, are you currently partnering with or working with your state or local workforce development partners? Your answer based on if you are a TANF, refugee, or other social service agency or entity. Again, the question is, are you currently partnering with or working with your state or local workforce development partner? An answer based on who you are, yes or no. Okay. I'll give you a couple of more seconds. We encourage you to share any collaboration that you are doing with us in the text box or email us at peerta@icf.com. Okay, and now we'll go to our first presenter. Our first presenter today is Laurel Donaghy, Program Manager of HIRE, LIRS. She brings 6.5 years of progressively responsible refugee employment program experience with Caritas of Austin, Texas, a CHEP site and a member of the USCCB affiliate network. Previously, she worked to strengthen nonprofits internationally in training, assessment, organizational development, and field office management. Laurel has her MBA from Thunderbird, the American Graduate School of International Management, speaks Russian and Spanish, and served in the U.S. Peace Corps. HIRE, a project of Lutheran Immigrant and Refugee Services, builds and connects the diverse community of employment professionals, employers, and neighbors who support refugee and immigrant self-sufficiency as a technical assistance contractor funded by the Office of Refugee Resettlement. Laurel, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. So that was a great introduction. I will just quickly explain a little bit more about HIRE. We, on the slide you see now, actually explains it exactly the way we see ourselves. And I just have to say that it is a quote from the White House Task Force on New Americans, which is a document that I think everybody's aware of. It is more and more guiding our conversation about what we can do to help our clients, not just start well, but survive and thrive and achieve long-term integration so they and all of us benefit. We are ORR's training and technical assistance partners supporting refugee employment across the country. So everyone who's doing this work can benefit from the resources that we offer. I'm going to explain those in a little bit, but what I'd like to say really is that my presentation will present some general trends, some things we see across the country, and some of the resources that everyone can benefit from. But all of my co-peer presenters really give the best examples of what can happen. This is diverse work. Everyone does it differently. Everyone lives in a different place, sees a different mix of clients. So I think we're really fortunate to be able to see quite a strong cross-section of what works to do some of the different things that we all know are important for our clients. Really quickly, this is a snapshot of job seekers from a refugee background, our clients. In 2013, 87,000 work-authorized individuals were assisted from all different programs. 20% of them are between the ages of 18 and 24, and that's going to be especially significant when I talk a little bit later about WEO and the federal workforce legislation. And there are 340-plus refugee workforce development agencies across the United States. And at 180 days last year, our national job placement rate was 76%, and that is very high and something that we should all be proud of. That infographic is available on our website, and the URL is included. What we think we do well is provide national best practices and individual connections. And I wanted to quickly highlight four of the best practices that we see across the country. And you'll definitely see these reflected in the programs that you hear about a little bit later. It's important to provide some level of service to support job upgrades, career laddering, and long-term career development. Create intentional separation of duties and dedicated time for job development, which means working with employers, creating those partnerships and pathways for refugees to find meaningful work. It's important to move towards some form of standalone job readiness class-based training. And it's increasingly what we see is success in engaging and training volunteers and mentors to provide employment services. We also think that we are good at bringing forward frontline realities and national trends. Clearly, when you look at that slide, I'm not quite as good at formatting PowerPoint. Apologize for that. But the important thing is that there are two national trends that we see increasingly shaping our landscape and our conversation. The first one is WEOA, the Workforce Innovation and Opportunities Act, which is the first federal workforce legislation in more than a decade. And if you didn't know about that, there are so many resources available to do so. But why that's important for us, I believe, is that it creates space for us to strengthen collaboration with the federal workforce system so that refugees can benefit from all of the resources that they can access there. The second trend we see is some really innovative work happening around job development, working with employers. The state of Colorado and Nebraska have piloted this work, and it really takes a sales approach and, again, acknowledges the fact that it's really important to partner with employers and offer them services that make things easier for them, solve their problems, and present our clients as a win-win in that context. Now I'm going to quickly go through some of the resources that you can access for free from HIRES programs. The first is an online learning institute, which is 9 right now. We hope soon to add 3 e-learning training courses that were designed specifically for our work and our client population. They're available for free online, and people are using them for a range of purposes in their job readiness activities, as part of their volunteer orientation, as part of volunteer assignments. I know you can't read all of that well, but I assume the PowerPoint slides will be made available to you, and you'll have that list. This is a series of screenshots from those courses. 5 of them are for refugees, and 4 of them are for employment service providers. You can access all of them at the URL that's included in the slide. And we created a special access path for any of you that would like to get a username and password and investigate the courses. You can see the URL, and you can also see a username and password. And if you use that, you'll be led to a short screen of information, and then we'll be able to begin exploring those trainings. And we welcome anybody to do that. We offer 3 ways to access information, and it's a wide range of information, current and evergreen, curated specifically for our work. We have a very dynamic website that is updated every day that includes a range of resources and has a really easy-to-use search feature So if your work that in a particular day means that you're looking for information about Syrians, about job readiness, about working with employers, type in the search function and you'll get a range of information that can help you. We also offer a weekday blog feed, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, new information, success stories, resources, highlights of various parts of our work, and we collect the best of those posts in a bi-monthly e-newsletter. Those three ways to get information are interchangeable, and we welcome you to take advantage of any or all of them. This is just a really quick example of the kinds of client populations and topics that are included in our website. Skilled professionals, older workers, Syrians, older youth, pre-literate clients, or special immigrant visa holders. And again, assuming that you'll get the PowerPoints, there are links that you can use to see more about all of those kinds of clients. We have a really an exciting, we think, annual opportunity coming up. Every year we offer a 2-day National Refugee Employment Workshop that is real time, where people come together from across the country and learn from presenters, but more importantly, learn from each other. Share peer resources about what's working, what's exciting, and what solutions people have found. It's coming up November 4th through the 6th, and there's still spots available for that. That's the last of the formal presentation I wanted to make. I assume that there'll be questions. I'm happy to answer them, and more importantly, I'll turn it over to the next presenter so you can learn about what's happening in the field. Thank you.
Thank you, Laurel. Our second presenter today is Sarah Peterson. Sarah joined Washington State Department of Social and Health Services as the State Refugee Coordinator in August 2014. Most recently, Sarah comes from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where she spent 15 years working with refugees and immigrant communities, including being a foster care social worker, serving unaccompanied refugee minors, managing a program helping individuals granted asylum, and directing a refugee resettlement program. Sarah, it's on you.
Great. Thank you so much. First of all, I just want to say thank you for the wonderful opportunity to be with all of you today. There are many people on this panel and in the audience who have experience and expertise around engaging refugees in the workforce, and I'm looking forward to the time that we get to spend together. Today, I want to share with you the integrated approach that Washington State takes providing refugees help in engaging in the workforce. I'll take a little bit of time about the specific challenges that refugees face here in Washington, and then share a couple of case examples to highlight the range of programs we implement. Washington State invests about $8.3 million in blended federal TANF funding and federal ORR funding, as well as general state funding. And our focus is to provide employment services, skills training program, and English language programs to refugees and low-income immigrants. By marrying our funding, our contractors can provide customized service to help each client gain the skills needed and remove the barriers to be able to achieve self-sufficiency and cultural integration. Many of the things that I'm going to talk about today may seem familiar to all of you, and I just want to share a little bit about what our experiences are. So while all refugees have faced the trauma of fleeing their home country and are now embarking upon a new journey to come to the United States and restart their life, refugees are a dynamic group of people with a broad array of needs. And to give you an example, in state fiscal year 2015, Washington has resettled nearly 3,000 refugees, representing more than 30 nationalities. On this slide, you'll see that in the federal fiscal year 2013 and federal fiscal year 2014, the largest numbers of refugees are coming from similar groups. But what you'll also notice is that they're very diverse, and each group speaks different languages. There may be minority languages that are spoken, And also, there may be transitions. So you'll notice from FY13 to FY14, the fourth largest group moved from being Nepali Bhutanese to Afghani. Most of our providers really focus on having close ties to ethnic communities, and they hire refugees who are able to provide services in the native language that the clients are facing. They share cultural backgrounds, and many also share the refugee experience, that they're able to help the clients walk through and address their needs. In addition, we see that people have a broad background of work and educational experience. And here at the Department of Social and Health Services in Washington State, our services providers test everyone's English language abilities using the CASAS test. And on an average yearly basis, we test more than 3,500 people. And you'll notice that in the state fiscal year 2014, 30% of all of our clients tested at the lowest level of ESL level one. And you'll see that that's a pretty consistent trend. And 73% of all of our clients tested at the lowest three levels of English. Similarly, one of our community colleges that provides ESL services to those with the lowest levels found that 32% of the classes had no formal education at all. They had to teach them how to write a pencil, use a pencil. 30% had less than 6 years of education, and only 20% had a high school education. Now, we also know that there are refugees who fall on the other end of the spectrum, who may be proficient in English. They may have professional degrees. And our challenge is really being able to serve each group and each client in the best way possible, in a customized way. Now I would like to share with you, so what we know is that one service type does not meet all needs, and that each client needs some customization. I'd like to share with you the client, a case of a client named Ong, and for the sake of this presentation, all of the client names have been changed for their privacy. Ong is a refugee from Burma who arrived in 2013 with his wife. And originally they received refugee cash assistance and were referred to the Limited English Proficient Pathway Program. Since 1999, Washington State has implemented the Limited English Proficient Pathway Program, or the LEP Pathway Program, as part of our TANF Work First Program. And it serves refugees who are receiving TANF, refugee cash assistance, or because of general state funding and ORR funding, we're also able to serve refugees who are not receiving any type of public assistance for up to 5 years. Now, Ong successfully received his first job. And about 2 years later, he found himself that his job was downgraded to part-time, and then eventually he lost it. He knew he could return to his LEP pathway provider, who would be able to help him. Now, he was eager to find full-time employment, but he was able to go very far on his own because he was unfamiliar with all of the different employment options and locations. So the LEP pathway provider was able to help him complete the complicated application for Walmart, which was a desirable job at a relatively high wage, but required 63 online questions. They also helped him deal with being able to respond to the cell phone inquiries. He had challenges responding to his cell phone. And so when Walmart called him for an interview, originally he missed the first interview because he wasn't able to navigate that system. So the LEP pathway provider was able to help navigate the system with him. They worked with the Walmart management, and they were able to get him an interview, and he is currently in orientation to attend to start his second job in the United States. Currently, the LEP pathway serves approximately 4,500 refugees and immigrants every year, and 80% participate in employment, and 80% participate in employment and ESL. In 2013, DSHS expanded our LEP pathway to include skills training and intensive ESL programs. The skills training programs are delivered by a community-based provider with a curricula that is based on the needs of the employers in the local area. These trainings currently offered include warehouse career, electronically assembly, commercial truck driver, home care aide, and customer services. The classes are provide an outcomes-based contextualized approach that allows participants to increase their English skills quickly and also gain workplace-specific content areas for their ability to transition to professional technical programs or a job placement. So one example that I'd like to share with you is about Omar. Now, Omar is a refugee from Somalia who arrived from his family in 2009. And he was originally resettled in Iowa. And like many refugees, they find themselves on the pathway to self-sufficiency, needing to access services in many different points. And so the integrated approach that Washington State offers allows refugees and immigrants to enter and exit the career pathway services at points that that are really important for them, but also to help further their progress towards achieving self-sufficiency. So Omar originally resettled in Iowa, and he moved with his wife and three children to Seattle. As a CANOP recipient, he as well was referred to the LEP pathway and began doing job search activities. He was offered a skills training opportunity for commercial driver's license training, and after successfully completing 3 months, he started a pay training program that offered 20 hours of service, and eventually that same the Swift Transport Company hired him as a full-time truck driver. Similarly, our intensive ESL classes are able to provide limited English proficient refugees the ability to really focus on only learning English and life skills. And one example is a Sudanese woman who came, and she had been a nurse in her home country, but really needed assistance in gaining level gains to be able to become credentialed in the United States. So the intensive ESL class really focused for a six-week time period on learning life skills and helped her to gain 2 to 3 levels of ESL so that she could enter a program to start the credentialing process. Similarly, in 2013, we were able to expand our programs to include subsidized employment programs. And our subsidized employment programs have been really helpful for Mohammed. Now, Mohammed is an Iraqi refugee who arrived in the United States in December of 2013 with his wife and 4 small children. He enrolled in CANIS and received cultural integration and job search activities through his resettlement agency, which is also an LEP pathway provider. After about 6 months, he was referred to our community jobs program, where he was placed with the Salvation Army and received 20 hours of subsidized work and continued to attend his ESL class at about 12 hours. So while he was doing his community job, he earned a minimum wage, which I think at the time was about $10. At the time he started his community jobs program, he was at ESL level 1. And in 2 months, by participating on the work site and gaining on-the-job skills as well as English training, he was able to progress to English ESL level 3. He received an opportunity to interview for an employer who was really impressed with his abilities. And they really wanted to offer him the position, but it required mandatory as well as certification. Our LEP pathway provider was able to work with the employer to utilize another career job program called Career Jump, which helps Mohammed offset the cost of the mandatory training and certificates, also subsidized the initial training program, and the employer agreed to cover the cost of the interpreter's services for the training. So by marrying these two different programs together, the employer received a savings of almost $2,500 in subsidized wages being paid to Mohammed, and he also gained a capable and reliable employee. And Mohammed, so during the time of his training, the LEP Pathway provider worked very closely with the employer and helped to communicate and mitigate any training issues. He was permanently hired on in September of 2014, and his monthly average earnings increased by over $1,000 a month for his family. Lastly, I'd like to talk to you about our ORIA DFET program. So Washington State has developed a nationally recognized basic food and employment training, and it's funded through the USDA SNAP Employment and Training Program. ORIA is able to allow our LEP pathway providers, or community-based organizations, resettlement agencies, and mutual assistance associations access to this program by carving out a portion of our general state funding to the 50-50 match. So we're able to draw down 50-50 match, and we and the ORIA basic BFET program is then able to provide job search and training, educational workforce and skills program, and then and serves as well as to help clients reach out for self-sufficiency. For refugees who are no longer on TANF and are receiving food stamps, they're able to access this program as well. And so I just really, again, want to say thank you so much for the unique opportunity to provide information about what we're doing in Washington State, and I look forward to hearing from the rest of the presenters.
Thank you, Sarah. Mm-hmm. Our third presenter is Molly Murphy-Dale, a refugee contract analyst at the Utah Department of Workforce Services. Molly began her career teaching English at a small university in Jeju-do, South Korea. Since that time, Molly has focused her profession on cross-cultural work and has over 17 years of experience operating programs that focus on building self-sufficiency and sustainability in refugee communities. Her experience encompasses all areas of refugee program development and management. This includes working hands-on in mental health interventions in the Afghan community to writing grant proposals, as well as overseeing all aspects of awards granted. Molly holds a bachelor's degree in intercultural relations from the School of International Training in Brattleboro, Vermont, and is proficient in Spanish. She graduated with a bachelor's degree in teaching English to speakers of other language and Spanish. Molly currently oversees a $5 million plus program in federal funding. Molly, you please begin.
Hi, thank you, everyone. It's a pleasure to talk to you and to have the opportunity to share some of the best practices and many innovative activities that we are currently working on for refugees in the state of Utah. So I'd like to give you a brief overview of what we'll talk about here for the next few minutes. I'd like to briefly touch on some of the activities that are happening statewide in terms of accessing services that, or having services that refugees can access for employment. I'd like to talk to you about specific strategies that the Department of Workforce Services is conducting, or DWS, and then also just some of our thoughts more recently about how can we use data in all aspects of our work and how could we use that data to help promote employment as well. So first of all, outside of the Department of Workforce Services, we partner with many, many refugee-serving agencies, and they provide a lot of support and a lot of innovative programs around the state, anything from vocational counseling, job coaching. We have job clubs where refugees can get together and learn about the culture, learn about, you know, what's life like in Utah, how do I get a job. We have some really creative micro-enterprise development projects going on, in particular that I think are interesting. We have an incubator kitchen where refugees can get together and learn the skills needed to be entrepreneurs themselves and learn the skills needed to open up a small restaurant. We have a goat project where refugees are able to you know, hone in on their animal husbandry skills. And another project is the New Year's project, which is helps refugees, you know, work on skills that for small shareholder farming. So there's a lot of really wonderful and interesting activities across the state. And I just wanted to highlight that a lot of these can be coordinated through monthly meetings that we hold here at our office, and we also have an employment subcommittee that's a part of our Refugee Advisory Board Committee. So they should meet on a regular basis and coordinate the services that everybody is working on. So again, I just kind of wanted to throw out there just touch really broadly some of the other activities that are happening in the state. And then moving on to Department of Workforce Services, so we have a very unique team of eligibility and employment counselors that are very multicultural, very multilingual, and serve only refugees in our offices. So for a refugee who comes to the state of Utah, they're able to come into our office, understand eligibility information, and receive employment counseling without having to call in over the phone or do that online, which is what most of our customers do. So I think that's a really unique, innovative way that we can really work with refugees towards their employment goals. We also have additional staff that support employment and employers. So, for example, we have a job developer. He is a refugee, and his job is to reach out to the employer community, educate them about our customers, about refugees, and then build those bridges. We also have an employment program specialist whose previous role used to be more along the lines of working with our contractors and those contracted services. However, we're shifting her role so that she is able to be a bridge, again, with more employers, and her focus will be on bringing employers to the table, educating them, supporting them, you know, building opportunities for refugees and working with refugees so that they understand the work culture that's expected of them. Lastly, for the Department of Workforce Services, and this could be a presentation in itself with everything that's happening here, but this summer we opened the Utah Refugee Education and Training Center. We offer a lot of different classes and short courses, as well as training. So, for example, we have job readiness courses, Steps to Success, basic technology classes, and all of these are really created to serve refugees at the levels and needs that refugees have. So, for example, class sizes are smaller. The content might move more slowly. There's a lot of progress measurements that are incorporated into each one of these classes so that refugees know where they are headed and the skills that they're gaining. We have some interesting partnerships that we're developing with colleges and other employers. We are looking at a warehouse training with Salt Lake Community College here. They have a training in place because we know that's a huge need. Those jobs are in huge need in Salt Lake City. And so we're working together with them to take a look at the curriculum and make it more refugee friendly. Same idea with the aerospace initiative. There's a lot of partnering with current training programs that we can then bring into the center, the refugee center, and make those accessible for refugees. In the center, we also have life skills classes that we're developing. I think these may focus around parenting classes, driver's education, as well as, you know, how to keep up a home and things like that. These were ideas that were indicated to us by refugees. We also hold job fairs and other skill building activities for refugees as well. And all of these are coming out of our refugee center. And then I just wanted to talk really briefly. We are trying to focus really heavily on data. You know, we really want to know how long does a refugee need training to move from a $9 hour job to a $12 an hour job? What does that take? So we're actually building in systems currently to first identify outcomes. What are employment outcomes that we are interested in? Secondly, make sure that those outcomes are incorporated into our programs and grants and contracts that we support. And then work with all of our providers to collect data around outcomes. So in this example, we would be interested in outcomes around employment. So then how can we use that data that we're learning about to improve our programs, reach out to and empower refugees by letting them know, you know, their progress in their life in the States, and then also use that data to bring that to employers to have, you know, reason and justification to be working with refugees. So there's a lot going on in the state of Utah. I just wanted to give you a really brief overview. And thank you for your time, and we can move on to the next presenter.